I do make some playoff picks, but we've never had a losing record on my picks, and we are one game under 500, 38-39-2. So let's start, before I get to RJ Bell, pregame.com, let's start with my blazing five picks.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Five. Cowboys at Giants.
Cowboys at Giants. I've gone back and forth. I'm going to take New York plus 1.5. I think this is a go-either-way game, but here's why I think the value's with the Giants. Listen, the Dallas defense is improved in the last month, but it's still shaky. It's next to last or last in points. They're down rushing defense. They've allowed 30-plus points in 8 games, 120 points off turnovers, most in the NFL. But here's what I like. Jason Garrett, the former Cowboy coach, has really done a good job with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones hasn't had an interception in his last 5 starts. Nobody knows the Cowboys personnel like the Giants offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett. They're at home. They can still get in. They're both playing for the same thing. I think the value is on the Giants side. I'm going to take them to win 24 to The Giants, I'm going to have winning 24-23. Giants winning. Take the Giants and the points.
Saints at Panthers.
I'm going to take Carolina plus 6.5. This is an easy one. It's an in-division game. Carolina's got no quit. Young coach, young roster. They are fighting to the end. They want to cap this season off. And the Saints defense has been a little creaky in the last 3 games, giving up 171 yards rushing per game. The Panthers are 4-1 in their last 5 against the spread. They have 8 losses by just 1 possession. Teddy Bridgewater played great in Week 7 against his former teammates. New Orleans is the better team. That is not the question. 6.5 is a lot of points for a rivalry game for a smart young coach, a veteran quarterback, and a young team getting better. Panthers cover, but the Saints win 30-27.
Titans at Texans.
I don't call for blowouts much. I'm going to take the Titans minus 7.5 to blow out the Texans. I think the Texans have quit, and there's some numbers here that lead me to believe that. Their defense allowed 370 passing yards to Brandon Allen last week. They're on a 4-game losing streak. They're 5-10 against the spread, worse lately. And their defense doesn't take the ball away, meaning Ryan Tannehill's going to be comfortable. Do you know there's 1 of 3 teams averaging 30 points a game this season? The Packers, the Chiefs, the Titans are the other team. People forget about that because they've been so inconsistent. We don't love Ryan Tannehill like Aaron and Mahomes. This is a powerful offense. Again, a team that I think has just quit. I'm going to take the Titans winning in blowout fashion, 36-26.
Seahawks at 49ers.
Again, 49ers plus 6.5 is the play. George Kittle is back. Here's what the game comes down. San Francisco still, if you look at the numbers this year, is a top 5 defense in the NFL in the stuff that matters. Third down percentage, passing yards allowed, total yards per game. But their third down defense is the best in the NFL. And Seattle's offense is struggling to identify itself. Russell Wilson has 14 giveaways in the last 10 games. Only Drew Locke has more. So Seattle's the better team here. Nobody disputes that. But you look at their defense playing well. Robert Saleh, the coordinator, still trying to impress people and get a head coaching job. So that defense, they are playing hair on fire. A Seattle offense struggling to find itself. I think it's really a close football game. Seattle wins, but the Niners cover 24-23.
Washington at Eagles.
I think this is an obvious one. Philadelphia plus 2.5. I think they win the game outright. First of all, Doug Peterson may be coaching for his job. He's 8-4 against the spread as a home underdog. They play well as a home dog. Also, Washington's awful when Alex Smith doesn't play, and he's only doing individual drills this week. When Alex Smith plays, Washington's 10-5. When he doesn't, they're 6-26. And we talk about the Washington defense. We forget Philadelphia is one of only 5 teams in the NFL with over 45 sacks. Fletcher, Cox is great. Their secondary's a little banged up, but I don't think Washington can take advantage of it. I think Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts is averaging 440 yards of offense. Carson Wentz was averaging 120 yards less. They are simply more dynamic. I think he gets better every week. I think Philadelphia wins this game 27-20. And for more on my Blazing 5 picks, check out the Fox Bet social platforms. Again, I have the Giants beating the Cowboys in that first one, 24-23.
Okay, RJ Bell, pregame.com, Fox Sports Radio. Here we go, straight out of Vegas on Fox Sports Radio every day, 6 to 7. So I'm going to start with this. This is very important. I feel great about my picks, by the way. I'm going to take the New York Giants plus 1.5 hosting the Cowboys, and here's why. The Cowboys' defense looks good recently, but they've allowed over 30 points in half their games this year, and they've allowed 120 points off turnovers this year. And it's a Giants defense that can create turnovers. And Daniel Jones, healthier now, has gone 5 straight games without an interception. Give the former Cowboy coach, Jason Garrett, who knows Dallas's personnel, a lot of credit here. I think it's close. I'll take the points. Giants win by 1. What do the wise guys think?
So first, we now know what it takes to get Colin doing a podcast on January 1st. It's being one game below 500.
Yes.
And also, listen, keep the possibility. Let's say you end up one game. Let's say you go 2-2-1 this week. Let's hope you do better. Worst case, you pick 2 spot plays and you take care of it. I think you leave that open for the playoffs.
All right, well, I'll consider that.
It only makes sense. Agreement here. I got to be honest. Your handicap was right on. I mean, the Garrett factor, it may not be something, but it's a possible something. And then if you think about the idea of, Dallas is motivated, but so is Green, or so is the Giants. So
right.
I don't think there's any motivation edge. And there's 2 last things I think really solidify this. Dallas during this win streak is plus 9 in turnovers. And as much as throwing interceptions or not is something the quarterback affects, otherwise turnovers are a big chunk of luck. And because of that, teams who do exceptionally well with the turnovers tend to be overrated. I think this is a little bit of fool's gold with Dallas.
So do I.
And last thing, you could have bet this game a week ago, and the line in the game was the Giants minus 3. Okay? So now, think about that a second. Now the Giants are getting points. What has happened in the last week? I get it. Giants lost by 14 or whatever to Baltimore, but and Dallas won 1 more game. So that look ahead line really tells us there's been way too much adjustment. Value Giants.
One of my favorite picks of the week, Carolina plus 6.5 hosting the Saints. The Saints defense has been a little rusty in recent weeks, allowed over 30 points in back-to-back games and 172 yards rushing over the last 3 weeks. Meanwhile, the Panthers have been a very good bet this year. Last 5 games, 4-1 against the spread, 8 losses by 1 possession. And again, I think this is a new staff, a young team, and they really want to close out strong. It's almost like a college football team wanting to win that Liberty Bowl, the Sun Bowl, helps recruiting, keeps the sort of, esprit de corps in the locker room good in the offseason. I think this game means a lot to Carolina. I'm going to take them here in a very close game, a divisional game. What do the wise guys think?
Esprit de corps.
How about that?
I got to be honest, I've never heard that word spoken. I've read it before. This is high IQ stuff here. Okay, I'm going to give you an agreement on this one. Let's look at the Saints. This is fascinating. First 2 weeks of the year, and this is, we go back 7 years, the Saints have like 3 straight up wins, like 3-11.
Yeah.
Now, in week 17, during the entire Sean Payton era, week 17, they're 5-9.
Yes.
5 winners, 9 losers, the Saints. In between, so from week 3 to week 16, they're 65%. So it's a situation where they start slow and they end at least week 17 slow. That's one thing I like. 2, I think you're right. Carolina has a sense of momentum.
Yeah.
There's a sense his team has a plan.
Yep.
And to me, when you're at the end of the year and it's not going great. The question is this the end or is this the beginning? And when it's the beginning, like it is for Carolina, I think you never really have to worry about motivation.
You know, and something else to think about here. Teddy Bridgewater knows all about the Saints' defensive personnel and their schemes. He practiced on it. So it's got to help a little.
Yeah. So, you know, I again, with the holiday, I'm not as on top of it. Is what was the result? Refresh my memory.
Earlier this year, week 7, he had 130 passer rating.
Okay.
See, 82% completions against the Saints.
To me, that it's only one game, but when you have a theory and it gets backed up even in one game, it means a lot. So, you know, that makes me like it even more. That's a great point. Carolina agreement.
So I don't bet double-digit spreads very rarely, but I do have a game every other weekend that I think is a blowout, and I'll call for it. I think the Titans blow out the Texans. I'm going to swallow the 7.5. First of all, the Titans are one of three teams averaging over 30 this year with the Packers and the Chiefs, but because they're more inconsistent, we don't consider them a great offense. The Texans, I believe, are have quit. Four-game losing streak, 5-10 against the spread. It's the worst cover percentage in the NFL this year. Their defense has gotten progressively worse. They gave up 370 passing yards to Brandon Allen last week. I think it's a rare situation. I think they don't really know what the coaching situation is. Tennessee is playing for something far greater. And Tennessee tends to be a team. They've been hot and cold. After an ugly weekend, they bounce back. I think the Titans win handily here. What do the wise guys think?
I'm going to give you the slightest agreement, and it's more anti-Houston.
That's how I feel.
Because the thing you got to realize is this. Everyone wants to bet the must wins, and really, effectively, Tennessee is a must win. So it feels like we're betting them because it's like how they can't lose because then they're not going to make the playoffs. And to me, whenever something is obvious, it's built into the line. And sometimes it's actually overcompensated for. But I also think this, if a team is a little bit ambivalent about being there, let's say in the second half, Derrick Henry is not who you want to be playing against. So I think Tennessee's, you know, bruising running attack could really show well in the second half of this game. And don't forget now, Watson, who is having or has had an amazing season. I would make the case maybe the third best quarterback in the league this year ahead of Russell Wilson. And I know it's not being discussed as much, but he's had a great year. And two of those losses were last second losses against the Colts. So in a way, Houston hasn't been playing bad. But I think that Watson's just sick of it. His hand is hurt. I mean, they might just take him out in the second quarter. You know, if they're down 14, they might just take him out. And last thing on this game, and this is something that as I listen to when you have Jimmy Johnson on, when you have the former coaches on, I think it's, especially if you ask the right questions like you do, there's so much info to glean from that expertise. One of the things I've been hearing lately is when you have a team that doesn't have anything to play for, if the game is competitive, they'll keep playing because they want to win. But if they get down 10 or 14, they kind of pack it in. Well, to me, that's a perfect time to look to lay a bigger number because if you get up big, in theory, the other team sits down. So agreement, Tennessee.
Another game I like a lot, San Francisco plus 6.5 hosting Seattle. So the defense for the 49ers this year is still really good, RJ. And that's with an offense not giving them great field position. They're top 5 in yards allowed, third down percentage top 3. And Seattle's offense, Russell Wilson, as Greg Cosell told me this week, is not playing well. Russell's had 14 giveaways in the last 10 games. Only Drew Lock has had more. Ooh. He's pressing. He's struggling. And George Kittle is back. The running back situation is more stable. And I think in division, the Niners are a tough out. It's simply too many points. I'll take the Niners plus 6.5. Not sure who wins. Probably Seattle close. Russell Wilson does his thing. What would the wise guys say?
Agreement here. This is a classic wise guy play because it is in division against a rival. I mean, not only just a division rival, but even more so. And they don't want to allow, they want to be the spoiler in a way, but they want the other team to know they're going to play hard no matter what. This is almost like a Michigan-Ohio State game if it, obviously it'd be Michigan that's a 20-point underdog, let's say. So I like that part of it. Number two, I actually think San Francisco is undervalued even recently. So let's look at this. They lost to Washington, but they gained 150 extra yards. They were minus two in turnovers. And obviously, Mullins was really struggling with that.
Yeah.
And then they went on and lost to Dallas, but they were minus four in turnovers. You just can't win if you're minus
That's
four
right.
in turnovers. And they were 160 yards in advantage against Dallas. And then if you look at this Arizona, they ended up gaining 7.2 yards per play, and Arizona only gained 4.4. That's about as big a disparity as you're ever going to see. So I think San Fran's actually playing better than they seem. And I think Seattle had a tough game last week. And and you're right, they're going to probably win the game. But, boy, when you get near a touchdown, there's some room to slide in a cover. Agreement, San Fran.
More with RJ Bell at pregame.com. By the way, his Twitter account is at RJ in Vegas. More with RJ. I've got one more pick and a bonus pick. We get smarter after this. All right, so we've got a 4-for-4 agreement, a slight agreement in one of the games. Here we go, Washington at the Eagles. It's another division game, and I get Philadelphia at home plus 2.5. This jumps out to me. Washington is 10-5 in games started by Alex Smith. They're 6-26 in games he does not start. His intelligence, his experience, his ability to manage and occasionally pop is underrated. Doug Peterson's been very good as a home dog. He's getting points here. And we talk about Washington's defense, but Philly's defense is one of five with over 45 sacks this year. I think Philly wins straight out against the backup quarterback. What would the wise guys say?
Agreement here. And so Alex Smith is out officially?
Well, it's been a sporadic practice. So if he plays, it is a game-time decision.
And remember now, we got a quarterback that, you know, it's been a miracle that he's been able to fight back.
And God, yes.
You know, Rocky Blyer and beyond, right? Remember how famous Rocky
yes.
Blyer was for coming back from the injury. And to me, you've got to appreciate that. That said, when you're struggling with your physicality anyway, whereas he's not as mobile, now if you're banged up, whoa. I mean, and we've seen that with Daniel Jones where he is dependent on it. And we've seen it with Kyler Murray, their ability to run. And when they don't have it, they are not near as good. Alex Smith, I think, is another situation where he's just on the border of being viable. I know you're a big Malcolm Gladwell fan. I think that one of his concepts is that is maybe his best is the idea there's a minimum in any field that you got to achieve. It doesn't matter how hard you work. If you're 4'7", you're not going to play in the NBA.
Right.
But there's a certain size, maybe it's 5'11", that if you make it to there, you can play in the NBA. It's going to be harder, but you can. And to me, it's just so true because we always try to look at like a Jeff George's arm. It's not about do you have the best arm. It's about do you have a good enough arm not to be disqualified. And maybe Alex Smith, if with the banged up version of him, could be borderline disqualified when it comes to his physical ability on the field. Now, if you look at Hurts,
he's averaging. If you, RJ, it's really interesting. I looked this up. Hold on, let me look at this real quick. So the Eagles' offense is averaging 440 total yards when he starts. They're
yeah.
productive. He's just made young quarterback mistakes.
For sure. And the big jump was between week one and two. Because in week one, they had that 90-yard run. And that's the thing about the read option. If there's a true threat from the quarterback, it's a whole different play, right? So
yeah.
it shows up in Hurts' yards and the other running back's yards. So to me, he gets a ton of credit. But in week one, he didn't throw the ball well at all. And if you look at PFF's grade, it was one of the worst in the NFL. He actually threw the ball pretty well in week two. Now, week three, obviously some turnover sacks and all that. But like you said, not only a young quarterback, but a quarterback that did in a COVID year that wasn't really getting many snaps. I mean, how much prep time has he really had? But before he took over the starting job. So I'm impressed with Hurts. I also believe wanting to get a good look at him is another reason Philly's motivated. Because, again, it's week 17.
Yeah.
It's in division, so I think they can play spoiler. So I think the motivation and they, let's be honest, Peterson's job is borderline
on the line. No question.
I think there's certainly uncertainty about it. Now the thing that does concern me is the Eagles secondary still banged up, but again, will the Washington football team be able to take advantage of it? I'm going to give you one pro tip here real quick. Now, if you really like Collins' pick and you like Philly, I highly recommend you bet Philly in the first half, not so much for the game. Because if you actually look at it, Hurts' numbers and the team's offense have gotten really significantly worse in the second half of games. Because once they get a sense of his pace and whatever, they've been figuring him out a little bit. But number two, Washington has given up the least points in the NFL in the second half of the games. The least. So the best defense after adjustments against the team Philly, who has struggled in the second half offensively with Hurts, why not just isolate the better spot and play Philly, you know, going to be right around plus one or so in the first half.
That's why you're a wise guy, RJ Bell, pregame.com. Finally, it's a bonus pick, and what I've tried to do occasionally this year, it's just a teaching moment for me and hopefully for some of you in the audience. So the Bears get 5.5, feels like a lot in a division game, and they're playing very well. 11 of the games by the Bears this year decided by one possession. Their defense is better in this game. They have a playoff berth with a win. A lot feels like on Chicago's side. This is also a rivalry that has been completely one-sided, so I can see Green Bay rolling away with it. I do think there's a little fraudulent feel to the Bears. They've beaten bad teams. Where would the wise guys land on this play?
I think, and again, this is a strong lean, but it would be with Green Bay. And one, I don't think people realize how much this number one seed matters. If you look now, obviously with the bye, right? It doesn't matter who you're playing. Any playoff team, there's a chance you're going to lose. Right? It's even a 20% chance in almost any case. So the idea of that bye is important should be obvious. But let's just look at the math. Is 538 that has a really good site that's mathematically driven. You can do and say, well, what happens if this team wins and this team wins and do a bunch of contingencies? And what we figured out was Green Bay, if they get the number one seed, they're going to be about a 20% chance to win the Super Bowl. All right? If the worst thing happens and they get third, which is not that crazy. If they lose, Seattle wins and New Orleans wins. That's the only way New Orleans gets the number one. And that would put Green Bay third. In that case, 538 gives them a 6% chance to win the Super Bowl. So literally from 20% to 6% based on getting this number one seed. Number two, if you look at it, Green Bay has done exceptionally well in Chicago. Going back to 1990, 24-8 straight up, 22-10 against the spread. And the spread's going to count for having Brett Favre and having Aaron Rodgers. So 22-10. Now, we speculate that some of that is Green Bay's fans go and kind of take over the stadium, get a decent amount of seats. And it's, without fans, maybe that's not the case as much, but Green Bay certainly feels good about it. And I'll say in Chicago, and I'll say one last thing. Because of the weather playing such a big role in that Tennessee game last week, Green Bay, Tennessee, it makes me think that Rodgers and the team has the value of playing in Lambeau front of mind. It's like they just felt like they won that game because of the weather. I think that extra focus on the number one seed helps us, or at least helps Green Bay backers. So I would lean that way.
All right. Our Blazing Five, judged by RJ Bell, pregame.com, also on Fox Sports Radio at RJ in Vegas. Cross our fingers for a winning season. RJ, thanks. Have a great holiday season.
You too. And now we know for sure when I didn't sleep last night. So I can do okay with no sleep, but not as well.
All right, buddy.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.